Vate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we continue reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, from Canto 8, Chapter 16. It's entitled the Payavrata Process of Worship. So we now are in the verse 26. Please repeat after me. Shinavaliam ridalipyam snayat krodha vidirjana jadila vieta vais shrotaisi etang mantrang udirayet sinivaliam ridalipyam Esnayat krodha vidirnaya jadila vieta vaisrotai si etang mantrang udirayet srinivalyam ridalipya snayat krodha vidirjana jadila vieta vaisrotasi Etang mantrang udirayet. Please chant. Sinivalyam. Sinivalyam idalipyam jadalivyeta vahistrotasi tamantra udiraye Sinivalyam idalipyam sayakrodha vidirnayam Dila vietta vai sutasi tram mantra udiraye nivalyam mridale pya vinirayam dila vietta vai sutasi etam mantra udiraye Srimalyam Mridalevya Srimalyam Mridalevya Snayat krodha vidirnaya Adi valyetta vaisrotasi Ettam mantra udirayet Matais, please. Srinivalyam idalipyam Snayat krodha vidirnaya Tavashvajasi etam mantra udirayet Sinivalyan midralipyam yat krodha vidhir nayam yadalya vyetava strutasi ittam mantra adhirayet snivalyan milinalipyam snayat krodha vidhir nayam yadila vyetava strutasi Tam mantra udhirayet sinivalyam on the dark moon day mrida with dirt alipya smearing the body snayat one should bathe krodha vidirnaya dug up by the tusk of a boar Jadi, if la vieta, it is available by, indeed, srotasi, in a flowing river, etam mantram, this mantra, udirayet, one should chant. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. If dirt dug up by a boar is available on the day of the dark moon, one should smear this dirt on his body and then bathe in the flowing river. While bathing, one should chant the following mantra. So there are four verses, they have no purpose, so I'm going to read myself all of them until 30, that's the one purpose. So it's 27. O Mother Earth, you were raised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of boar because of your deciding to have a place to stay. I pray that you kindly vanquish all the reaction with my sinful life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. 28. Thereafter, one should perform his daily spiritual duties and then, with great attention, offer worship to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also to the altar, the sun, water, fire, and the spiritual master. 29. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, greatest of all, who lives in everyone's heart, and in whom everyone lives, O witness of everything, O Vasudeva, Supreme of all pervading person, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. 30. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Person. Being very subtle, you are never visible to material eyes. You are the knower of the 24 elements, and you are the inaugurator of the Sankhya Yoga systems. Purport. Chaturvinsatguna, the 24 elements are the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The 10 senses, 5 for working, and 5 for acquiring knowledge. The 5 senses, objects, and the contaminated consciousness. These are the subject matter of the Sankhya Yoga, which was inaugurated by Lord Kapiladeva. The Sankhya Yoga was again propounded by another Kapila, but he was an atheist, and this system is not accepted as a bona fide. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simhati Vrava Prurati Sivrinna Taira Padapankaya Nibrava Sirahai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simhati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Devana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Bhalam Prachiyami Sesa Pachyate Satami Kachantane Smiti Yasmin Duskaran Sukaran Bhavet Smritivi Paratansyatam Sichitanya Namamitam. Alright, thank you everybody for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we continue here the Payovrata process, the bow a drinking meal for 12 days. But as we can see here, it's not just by drinking meal, but there's another rituals, activities that Kashyapa Muni is instructing Aditi to perform in order to fulfill her desires. Kasapya Muni, he was a great sage. He was no ordinary person. He was one of the Prayapatis, the son of Marichi. Marichi is one of the mental sons of Lord Brahma. Mental doesn't mean he suffered from some mental disorders. Does mean he was generated from his mind. And then Marichi have Kasyapa Muni as a son. He also is the father of Garuda. What he have with Vinita. What happened is he married with 13 wives, 13 daughters of Daksha. And both of them, and I'm sorry, two of them, there's Aditi and Aditi, and the other was Vinita and Kadru. So with Vinita, he has all the birds. He procreated all the birds, and the Garuda was the first one. And also he procreated with Kadru all the Nagas. So in this way, Kasapa Muni is dealing with all these situations as a Grihastha with all these wives. Since he's a great Muni, he always managed to give the proper guidance in order to purify their wives. And we can see here that the whole material creation is actually a place of suffering. There is no place in which one can be one permanent happiness. We can see this is happening in the beginning of the creation and also in the higher planetary systems. And the whole is looks like there is some plan for this creation. There is one atheist philosopher. His name was Sigmund Freud. He wrote one book. He called the Civilization in Discontent. In there, he expressed his feelings about this, the situation that he see in this world. First of all, he writes that the belief on the Supreme Father, the Supreme God, is actually a patently infantile, he said. I don't understand so much what that means, so I went to dictionary. And this is mean like a childish idea to believe in a Supreme Father. And then he continues saying that this is foreign to the reality. But one interesting thing he wrote after that is that he wrote the following thing. He said, one feels inclined to say that the intention that a man should be happy in this material world is not included in the plan of the creation. So he was kind of Muni, self-realized souls, by saying that he concluded that it's not possible. The discreation was actually, Krishna actually confirmed this in the 8th chapter, verse 15, when he said, Man upetya punar yamandu kalayana sashartam. So it's the same thing that this philosopher was saying. Because the very nature of this world is that in one side, somebody is enjoying, and the other side, somebody is suffering. Sometimes the sufferer becomes the enjoyer, and the enjoyer becomes the sufferer. Somebody is laughing, and somebody else is crying. And the crier becomes the laugher, and the laugher becomes the crier. So that's the very nature of this world. So now, who is crying this time? Is Aditi. Aditi is lamenting for the position of his children, the demigods. Aditi is happy, but as we remember in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Aditi was lamenting because his two children were killed. Anyone remember who are those? Huh, they were killed by Lord Vishnu in his form of boar and Hiranyakashipu, respectively. So, and she blamed Indra. She blamed Indra because he said that Vishnu killed these two children of her for the sake of Indra. So he was very upset. He was lamenting for that. So he wanted to take revenge. And so he devised a plan. She began to serve Kashyapa Muni in many ways as best as possible, smiling to him, speaking sweet words, raising her brows and eyebrows and so many things. At some point, Kashyapa Muni became captivated by her attentions. And as we know, usually when this happens, the sages are ready to give benediction, because that is the way they reciprocate any favor. So immediately, so Lirihi knew that the deity has this very cruel plan to kill Indra. So she said to him, "Thank you. Yes, I want a benediction from you, and I want to give me a son who is capable to kill Indra." So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in some of these verses, in the Sanskrit way, she said, Barandame putram Indrahanam. And the word Indrahanam means to kill Indra. Give me a son. Baran means benediction. Da means me. Da means give. And me. Putram means son. And Indrahanam. Hanam means, they have two meanings. Kill, it also means follower. So Kashyapa Muni become very, he condemned himself because he didn't know what was doing all these things. But being at great Muni, I missed that with nouns. He gave it another process of worship, as he's doing here for a deity. So he the same thing he did with deity in order to purify her. So he advised her to follow the Vaishnava process, the worship Vishnu, for 1 year. And he told her that if you do exactly as he said, she will have the son that will kill Indra. So Indra find out by his mystic power what Diti was planning. And one time, Diti forgot to wash her hands and mouth and feet after eating, and he went to sleep. For this mistake, Indra was able to enter to her womb with the intention to kill the fetus, the embryo. So he cut the embryo in 7 pieces. But what happened? Instead of killed, 6 more souls entered to the separate parts. And they began to cry. So we can see this Indra was the first scientist who made this clone. He was the first cloner. And then he divide again the 7 pieces another 7 times, and they become 49. And again, all its souls enter to all these separate pieces and become alive. The total became 49. And then it starts to speak to him. Because Diti was performing this Bratha, worshipping Lord Vishnu, instead, because she is the mother of the demons, so whatever son, I don't know how it works, but whatever son she has, they are demons. But this time, because she was purified by the process, the 49 children become demigods. And what happened when she woke up? The 49, they spoke to Indra. He said, "Why are you trying to kill us? We are your brothers. We are your followers." So that's what the result of the worship, the word Hanam, instead kill Indra, they become followers of India. So Indra promised them that since you are my brother, he said, you don't have to fear more. When Diti woke up, he saw the foreign knights, Maruts, they were called Maruts, and Indra along with them. So she inquired about him, what's happened, so he told the story. And then she became pleased, because now she had, instead of 49 demons, she had 49 demigods. So that was the end, happy ending of this process of Vrata. So this is going to have also another happy ending. Anyone know what's going to happen after this Payavrata ending? Besides the senior Vaishnavas, what would be the result? Yes, he will have a son, Abhamana there. That's what will be the fruit, the phala of this process of worship. So we can see how this maternal affection is very natural. Someone raised a question asking one time, is the love of the mother for children is Maya? So it sounds very cruel to say yes, it's Maya, because according to some conception, Maya should be given up, because whatever love is not directed to Krishna is Maya. But it's too, this classification is too, is too radical, we can say. Because between materialistic, there's aparadharma. Between the material conception is aparadharma and adharma. Because paradharma is whatever is relationship with the Supreme Lord, and aparadharma is some duties that it has to be done. And adharma is something that are against the regulatory principle, is immoral. But paradharma is moral and has to be done. You say, therefore, the love that the mother feels for her children, it has to be there. It's necessary, he said. It's necessary. Prabhupada speaks something in the 8th canto, in the first verse, in the purport. I'm sorry, it's the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This verse is to speak about what things one has to be not given up. The jagya dhana tapas karma natvajam karyam evatyat. Jagyo dhana tapo chaiva pavanani manusinam. It is said that jagya, sacrifice, tapa, dana, charity, and tapas, austerities, these actions, shouldn't be given up. No. Because this tapa, dana, in jagya, tapa, and dana, they say, can purify even the great souls. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that even he is in the position of sannyasi, he said, he has to marry, he has to perform marriage ceremonies. So that is called vivaha gyagya. Because all these aparadharmas, they are performed for the benefit of the society, he said. And then aparadharma can elevate to paradharma in connection with Krishna. So one of the example of this is the story of Dhruva Maharaj with his mother Suniti. His tension of Dhruva actually was not spiritual, but his mother Suniti, she directed him to worship the Lord. So we know that when that he achieved whatever he desires and he saw the Supreme Lord, Swamin, what is the line? Swamir, Paramya, Kwachin Michimbang Deviarriva. I forgot this verse. But what he said, that he realized that by looking for a broken pieces of glasses, because now he attained the jewel, because as soon he saw the Supreme Lord, he even didn't see Krishna, he saw Vishnu, Narayana, because Krishna is even more attractive than Vishnu. So he gave up this intention, this material desire, and became a great king. So what happened, the result of this Paradharma, he became glorious, he became Paradharma, because at the end he was supposed, when he quit, by the time when he was going to quit his body, an airplane for Vaikuntha came with two Vishnu Dutas, Nanda and Sunanda, and when he aboard the plane, he said, "That person, if I came," and he just stepped on his head to aboard the plane. He just remembered his mother. And then he thought, or he told the Vishnu Dutas, "How can I leave my mother?" And the Vishnu Dutas said, "Don't worry," he said, "your mother is already going to Vaikuntha in another plane." So this was the fruits of this Paradharma when become Paradharma in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, this Paradharma is not should be given up. I heard the last time with Vijay Prabhu gave a class, somebody said that a father said to his daughter, "You're not my daughter," something like that. But this should be not done. It has to be natural affection for the mothers and fathers and with his children in order to have a healthy society, and this can be elevated to the position of devotional service in relation to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada give us this beautiful commentaries and translations, but sometimes we see the translation, for example, in this verse, Nama avyaktasya avyaktaya, who are never seen by material eyes. Somebody who has some knowledge of Sanskrit, he can understand the word avyaktaya doesn't mean exactly who are never seen in material eyes. It's actually avyakta means unmanifested or invisible and has other meanings. And this, I want to talk about this a little bit, because this brings, this brought some criticism from some scholars. There's one Indologist from Hungary. He wrote an article when he read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. He began to attack Srila Prabhupada in criticizing about his translation. He was saying that he gave the example of the first verse, Dharma Kshetra Kurukshetra, in which Prabhupada translated the word Dharma as a pilgrimage, the place of pilgrimage of Kurukshetra. And he was, this person was protesting that the word Dharma doesn't mean place of pilgrimage. He gave the example that the word Dharma means law and truth, because he reads other Bhagavad Gitas in which the word Dharma is translated as the land of the Kurus or the soul of the righteousness and things like that. But Prabhupada knew better how to give the, not the conventional translations from the Sanskrit dictionary, but the real meaning, because being pure devotee of Krishna, he was intimate in contact with Krishna. And all his translation and purpose were full of devotion and ecstasy and giving the what exactly Krishna wants to tell us. So I was... actually, the word Dharma has so many meanings. I wrote some of these meanings here. So the word Dharma means manner, law, duty, good work, character, virtue, justice, right, morality, conduct, righteousness, religion, etc. It has so many meanings. So when it's come to Mario translation from Sanskrit to other different language, it's very difficult to be accurate in the translation because there are so many meanings for each word. For example, the word rasa. Prabhupada said in the Nectar Devotion that the word rasa has no equivalent in the English language. But his spiritual master, he said, he translated as a mellow. So he said, I will use this word, mellow. Because the word rasa has different meanings, like a tongue, delight, elixir, liquor, taste, desire, love, essence, charm, pleasure, juice, condiment, flavor, affection, syrup. I just wrote a few of them. There is tons of meanings for the word rasa. But mellow, you cannot find. Mellow, you cannot find. There is no mellow translation in English for the word rasa. But because they are acharyas, they are inspired by the supreme pure devotees to Krishna, they can give the right meaning for we can understand the exact messages of these verses and the intention of Krishna. How can we understand? I was reading this verse in relation with these words from Srila Rupa Goswami from the Padyavali. That is, he said that Bhakti Rasa, Krishna Bhakta Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyante Jida Kutupi Na Lavyate. What is the next line? You know? No. Tatra Lauliam. Tatra Lauliam Kutupi Mulyam Ekalyam. Jamma koti sukriteir na labhyate. So Prabhupada in the Journey of Self-Discovery, he writes, I found this yesterday, no, a few days before. He writes, I choose to translate this Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. I choose it to translate as pure devotional and Krishna consciousness. And then I start to analyze this line, the first line, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. And I try to guess what was the meaning in the Sanskrit according to my teeny brain and my little knowledge of Sanskrit. And I think, okay, Krishna Bhakti means devotional to Krishna. Rasa, let's say mellow. And Bhavita means become. And Mati means intelligent. So I try to put each word in this way, that way, okay. I'd say, okay, intelligent become rasa when it's applied to devotion to Krishna, or the intelligent, or the rasa become, I tried so many ways, upside down, and I couldn't find any reasonable or logical translation. In other words, I don't know what is the meaning of this verse line. But Prabhupada put this is devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So we take that so easily because that's what the pure devotee said. And because that, we have the benedictions of the pure devotees in qual little by little according to purification we become to understand little by little all this is revealed scripture. That is called revealed scriptures. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called these type of personalities the scholars who they are chair philosophers, armchair philosophers, that they are like the bees who are trying to taste the milk from the bottle, the honey. Trying to taste the honey just by licking the bottle without opening it. But that is not possible. Lord Brahma in his Brahma Moham Lila, after he he realized the power, realized that Krishna, what the Supreme Personality of God, is his creator. He offered a garland of prayers, and one of them he said, Atapiti Deva Padam Bhuja Jaya, Prasada Lasaya Nugrahita Evahi, Jan Nayati Tatam Bhavang Mahino, Nachanya Eko Pichiram Bichimban. So these people, he describing these kind of people. These people who are, they cannot receive the lesha. Lesha means chuchut. In Russian it's chuchut, a little bit. Chuchut, a little bit of lasun agrahita. Anugrahita means favor. Favor from what? Padam Bhuja Dvaya, from the pada, the lotus feet. Ambuja means lotus flower, and Dva means two. The two lotus feet of Krishna. They receive this mercy of the two lotus feet of Krishna. It's not possible to understand. Nayati tatam, the nayati means like a knowledge, and jati means understand. Na jati, don't understand the truth. Tatvam. Bhagavan Mahimano, the greatest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, these people, he said, Chirambi Chimban, what time is it? Okay, almost. Chirambi Chimban. Chiram means for a long time, long period of time. And Bichimban means speculating. They just spend all his life speculating. But because they don't have this chuchut, Agranihita, they can understand. It's not possible they can understand. Chiram sometimes refers to like eternal or for a long period. Like it's described these Chiranjivas. Have you ever heard about the Chiranjivas? There are seven Chiranjivas. They're supposed to live until the end of Kali Yuga. There are seven. There is Vyasadev, Ashotama, Bali Maharaj, Vibhishana, Hanuman, yeah, Ashotama already said, Parashurama, and Kripa, seven. This is called Chiranjivas. They're going to live until the end of Kali Yuga. So therefore, I wanted to say one Russian song, but Archita Prabhu said don't speak Russian, so I will skip that. Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyway, we'll leave it for next time. Thank you so much. I'm gonna stop there. And is any question I can be able to answer? So please, you can ask. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. I just wanted to share that in the four verses that you first read, that the daily activities that was prescribed there, that actually Srila Prabhupada has given us all the details of that. And actually, if you just follow the regulative Vaidhi Bhakti, the principles of Sadhana Bhakti, everything is given by Prabhupada starting from Mangalartik and in the mid-range right now. We're on the mid-day of Srimad Bhagavatam. All the process is there to actually blossom, which is the desired result, which is... What's the desired result? Exactly. So, and in connection to the person who gave his description of the Bhagavad Gita, that was Krishna is the person who is the goal of life. And if you get the purport of that person, the desired result will be different, because it will go somewhere else. And only devotees, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, is able to unlock the bottle of honey. Mm-hmm. They will never sing like Swavas will be singing. You know, he's singing this morning, and I said, in the Philippines, when somebody sings like him, la la rui la rui, you know, that's Filipino, that's not Russian. It's Filipino. They will know that he's in love. So if you want to get that nectar, you have to get the purport of a devotee. Jai. Gaur Bhakta
Vrinda. Пожалуйста, прости мои оскорбления. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Hey, Babuji.